God, that we can be attentive to your word. We pray, Lord, that your word would find its place in our heart. We can gain wisdom and insight. Lord, I pray for those, God, this morning who are sick. God, we just got so many people in our church battling illness today. I pray over them. I pray healing in their homes. I pray healing in their bodies right now. And I pray wholeness, Father. We declare your word. Your word is true. Your word is for us. And your word is health and healing and life for us today. And we hold on to that. And we base our life on it. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, good morning. Good to see you guys today. I hope everybody's doing well. I know, like I said, we've got many that are sick and battling with illness this week. And so we're just praying health and wholeness today for your family and mine. I know Raina, she's not been feeling well this week, and so I know, and I've got a few texts of people who are saying, hey, pray for me today. So we definitely are. This morning, we're going to go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22 is where we're heading. So if you want to go ahead and take your Bible and start turning to Matthew chapter 22, that's where we're going to start today. We're starting a new series of messages for this month called Love Is. Love is, and so we're going to be answering this question, filling in the blank about what love is. Now, in 1984, there was a guy by the name of Mick Jones, and Mick Jones began to write a song about 3 a.m., and he just had all these feelings that he was dealing with, all this stuff that was running through his mind, and he had moved back to his home for a little bit, back to his hometown for a little bit. So there was a little bit of nostalgia that was going on too. And he had kind of a rough time in relationships. He had already been through a divorce. He was engaged to be married again. And he had all these things that he was just kind of feeling in this moment on this particular night. So when he sat down, he began to write a song. And he was reluctant to let anybody hear this song. He didn't really want to share it with anybody. And this is what he said. He said, I'd been through a lot of relationships that eventually failed and still searching for something that could really endure. And so that's what he was looking for. One of his bandmates that he played with, his name is Lou Graham. Lou Graham. And he said he believed that this came from some deep questions that he had about his own life, and that was why he probably wasn't sure he wanted millions of people to hear this song, but it got released anyways. And does anybody, do you know who this might be or what song this might be? We know back there? Okay, we got a few back here. Okay, all right. I'll give you a hint. This is a part of the song. In my life, there's been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face it again. I can't stop now. I've traveled so far to change this lonely life. I want to know what love is, right? All right, that's it. Anybody remember that song? Okay, yes, okay. All these 70s and 80s people, okay? So, yeah, it's Foreigner. Foreigner. This was their number one hit. And it was, I think this was the only song they had that went to number one. They had several other songs that were top of the charts, but this was the only song that hit number one. And I think about this. I think about the song, and I think we asked the same questions that Mick Jones was also asking, that, you know, I want to know what love is. I want to know what true love is. There's a lot of heartbreak a lot of times that happens in life, and there's a lot of things that fail in life and fall apart in life. And so what is true? What is true love? And so we really want to talk about what that looks like this morning in a foundational way, not in a kind of overly emotional, gushy way that sometimes, you know, February can be. And I know this morning I'm probably going to sound like a little bit of a curmudgeon. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and give you the disclaimer, okay? It's like, man, Mr. Grumpy Pants up there talking about love, right? So, but I've just seen a lot of very shallow love. I've seen a lot of examples of fickle what's called love, and where love is abused, and that word gets thrown around, right? We use that word so flexible, don't we? I mean, because we could say things like, man, I love my wife, or I love my husband, or I love my kids, and in the same, you know, breath, we can say, I love this pair of shoes, right? Come on. And I know some of you say, well, Pastor Ryan, you've never been in my shoes, so you don't know how much love there is. But, you know, we use that word to go a lot of different ways. It's very flexible. And so I want us to talk at the beginning of this series in a foundational way. I want us to talk in a way that just kind of takes us to the core. And what does that look like? Because just like Mick Jones, you know, asking, I want to know what love is, I think we do too. We want to know what true love is, what is true, what is real, and what is lasting. And the first place I think we have to start is this, and we have to understand that love without a foundation in God, it lacks purpose. Love without its foundation in God, it lacks purpose. And that's a problem. Because love, when it's dependent on worldly success, when it's dependent on appearances, when it's dependent on fleeting happiness, right? Because we can be happy one moment, and then, oh man, I love this. This is amazing. I'm happy with this now. And then tomorrow we hate it, right? How many have you felt like that before with stuff? Or and you say, well, it's not quite that quick, but we do that. Our happiness can be fleeting. We're great one day, the next day we're not happy with stuff, or we've fallen out of favor with it. And so love without a divine foundation, it leaves people searching for meaning in temporary things. It can't sustain them, right? What's temporary cannot sustain an enduring love. When we base our love and we base our life on what's temporary, there's no sustainability to it. And so we have to go down to what's foundational. We have to look and say, what is true love? What is real love? And where does that start? And what does that come from? And I want to just say this morning, that we talk a lot about God loves us, and God has love for us, and God does things in love. But he is not just the God who loves and acts on love. He is love. God is love. And so when we're looking at how to define love, we have to go to the one who created love. We have to go where love originated. We have to start there, because everything else is a fake. Everything else is playing a game. Everything else is just a substitute, right? So we have to go to what true love is, and true love is found in the foundation of who God is, and God is love. So when your love is only anchored in what's temporary, you'll constantly search for something new, right? When your love was only anchored in what's temporary, at some point you're going to try to find something new. And so today we're trying to answer this question: what is real love? What is the foundation of love? And the place I want us to go is in Matthew chapter 22. And so if you'll go with me there this morning, and we've read this passage a lot, and you've heard me talk about these scriptures a lot, and so we're going to talk about them again. But here in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus really kind of cuts to the chase. There's a group of people. Couple groups of people that are really pressing Jesus because they're testing him, and they're trying to get him to slip up. They're trying to get him to say something that he can't back up. They're trying to get him to say something that will make his credibility not as good or undermine his authority. And so these groups are coming to him, and they're testing him. And so he has this passage above here before we're going to start reading. The Sadducees come to him and try to test him. And then Jesus silences them, and this is where we pick up in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question and to test him. He said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment." You get that? Do you remember the Ten Commandments? What's the first commandment? It wasn't this one, right? And so what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying something, I think, that's like, it made me ask that question. It's like, oh, wait, what's he doing? So he's saying, hey, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, this is the great and the first commandment. He goes on and he says this. He says, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. They had 613 commands that they, not just 10, they had 613 commands that they were trying to live out. And they weren't really good with that. They failed at a lot of those, not just the top 10. And Jesus, he says this. He says, listen, all those, they hang on these two. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. You want to know what it looks like? He cut right to the chase. He said, this is the greatest commandment. He said, this is the great and the first commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he didn't just make this up. Where did this come from? And so let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where we find this. And Jesus actually quotes two passages. What Jesus just told the Pharisees there when they came to test him, he quoted two passages. He quotes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he quotes out of Leviticus 19. I want to read the first one to you. And we find it here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And I'll stop right there. But Jesus quotes the Shema. And the Shema is a prayer that Jews all over the world will say morning and night. They will recite this prayer morning and night, and they'll get up and they'll say, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And they'll this is the Shema. And so Jesus starts here. It's central to Judaism. It's central to Jewish faith. And that's where Jesus starts, because he says, hey, you want to know what's really great and what's really important and what's really foundational? This right here. He says, if you want to know where to start, he says, start here. Start right here. And so he says, love God with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, and with your strength. He goes on and he says the second is as the first, is what Jesus is quoting. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you go to Leviticus 19, this is where he's quoting from. He's quoting from Leviticus 19 and 18. It says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And so Jesus is quoting from these two places, and they're trying to find instance to trip Jesus up, but Jesus really kind of cuts through all that. He says, I'm not going to be tripped up. You're not going to find any way to catch me. And Jesus speaks with authority, because Jesus is the authority on this. These words that Jesus quotes here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And he says, you shall love. I want to start right there. You shall love. Now, I've already said that in our society, we throw love, the word love, around with a pair of shoes to the people that are closest to us. And it has to do a lot of messaging. It has to be very flexible. And sometimes it just doesn't capture what it really needs to say sometimes. And Jesus, when he's looking at different words, he pulls out, in the Hebrew, there's different words for love. But this one right here is one that he uses. And he's saying, you shall love the Lord your God. You shall ahava. Ahava is the word there. Ahava is the Hebrew word that we find that Jesus uses. And what does ahava communicate? Ahava is a Hebrew word that communicates covenantal relationship. Covenantal relationship. It communicates, it's an enduring kind of love. It communicates that, listen, this kind of love is actionable. This is actionable, not as in you're going to get sued over it. It's actionable as you need to put it into practice. You need to put it into action. And so there's a covenant, it's a relationship, it's enduring, it's long, it's not fickle, it's not here just for a second and then it's gone. It endures, it's a long kind of love. And it's also an actionable love. It is a love that requires action. So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying this. He's saying, you don't just feel love, you do love. You don't just feel love, you do love. Now, I know we feel love, right? We talk a lot about our feelings. Sometimes we get in our feelings. Anybody ever gotten your feelings, right? And you say, you're getting in your feelings right now, you know? And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's not such a good thing. But Jesus is saying it's not just a feeling. It's not just something you feel. It's something you do. That's what ahava is. Ahava, and that's what Jesus is saying. He says, if you want to love God, you have to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You have to love God with your intellect. You have to love God with your emotion. You have to love God with your spirit. You have to love God with your physicalness, your actionableness, your hands, what you do with your hands, where you go with your feet, how you think with your mind. All of this, if you want to know what's foundational about love, love God with all that. He said, that's what love is. But see, our society, that's not the message we get. Right, what our modern concept of love is not that. It is something different. Actually, our modern concept and definition of love is all over the place. Our modern concept of love is changes every day. It changes from situation to situation because someone will say, "Well, I love this," or "This is what love is," and "This is how love should look." And then the next week, it's going to be different, right? And there's this fluidness in our society for love. But that's not what we see in Scripture. When Jesus talks about love and he says, this here, this is a foundational love. This is what love looks like. This is what love is based on. He says, it is the kind of love that is a covenant love that doesn't run out. It's an enduring love. It's the kind of love that lasts a long time. It's the kind of love that sticks through thick and thin. It's the kind of love that is actionable. So, what are some of the problems that we have with modern love? Well, some of the problems that we have or some of the definitions that we have with our modern concept of love, and I just want to give you a few here. The first one is this. Our modern concept of love is based on feelings that fade quickly, right? Our modern concept is of love that is, you know what, you can fall in love and you can fall out of love. Now, we talk about that, right? Anybody ever fell in love? I fell in love with this girl, you know. I fell in love with this guy, right? Or you fell in love with this guy. I didn't fall in love with this guy. You fell in love with the guy. Right? That's a whole different message. And we talk about love in this way. We talk about love as if we fall in and fall out of it. And actually, I don't believe that at all. Actually, what Jesus never talked about falling in and out of love. It's not how it's characterized. It's not how it's characterized in Scripture. But we talk about that, and we live it out that way. And so, oh, I fell in love with this person. It was amazing. It was just whirlwind romance. Everything was wonderful, and everything was great until it wasn't. And you say, what happened? Well, I just fell out of love with them, and I had to move on. And there's a problem. There's a problem with this modern definition of love that allows us to fall in. And if it allows you to fall in, it'll allow you to fall out. And that's not how Jesus characterizes love. That's not the words that he uses. That's not what Scripture says. He uses the word ahava, and ahava doesn't fall in and out. Ahava is steady. Ahava is strong. Ahava endures. Ahava is what we're given as our guide, is what we're given as our example. And so our modern definition of love is based on feelings that fade quickly. Our modern definition of love is based on self-centered love that prioritizes our personal happiness, right? It's about me. It's about me being happy, me getting what I want. And if I'm not happy, you know what? I need to move to the next thing because I need to find something that's going to make me happy. That's how our modern definition of love works. Is that, hey, you just need to do what makes you happy. How many of you have ever heard somebody tell you that? You just need to do what makes you happy. Sometimes what makes me happy is not good for me. That's the truth. Sometimes things that, you know what, that I'm happy for a little bit, but after a while, you know what, that happiness is fleeting. Yes, it is. It's temporary. And so it's got to be based on something else. It can't be based on a modern definition of self-centered love that prioritizes personal happiness. Modern definition of love is transactional. It's transactional. That means, hey, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Hey, you do something for me, I'll do something for you. It is the love of reciprocity, right? I'm going to do for you, you're going to do for me. And as long as you do for me, I'm going to do for you. But just as soon as you mess up and you don't do for me, well, you're going to reap the wrath of what that looks like, right? Because you owe me. How many of you ever felt like that? You ever felt like, oh, you owe me this? That's not what ahava love is based on. Ahava love is based on a covenant. And a covenant, the covenant that God models for us in his covenantal love with Abraham, with the children of Israel with just how we see Jesus saying, this is the new covenant, my blood. It's not fickle. And he says, listen, I choose you even if you don't choose me. I am going to love you and be faithful to you even when you're not faithful to me. That's the kind of love that gets modeled. It's not the kind of love of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. What happens if I don't scratch your back? I'm going to still love you. And that's what Jesus says. He says, you want to start in the foundation of love? The real true picture of love and foundation love is Ahava. And Ahava is not transactional. Ahava is covenantal. Ahava chooses to stay faithful. It chooses to be a love in action even when that doesn't come back the other way. Can you love somebody who doesn't give you that back? It's difficult, I know. It's difficult, and you're going to hear about this later on. Taylor's going to come up in a little bit. She's going to tell you about this Share the Love campaign. And actually, that's what this is about. It's not about transactional love. It's not about saying, hey, we're going to love our community, and we want our community to love us back. Actually, this may be one-way love. This may be us saying, we're going to love you because this is what's been modeled for us, and we want to model it for you, right? And she's going to tell you more about that in a little bit. So modern definition of love is transactional. The modern definition of love is focused on physical attraction, which is temporary. How many of you know that you may look different now than what you did at 23? Those of you that are 23, just wait. Man, my son Kobe, he's got all this hair. He's got all this hair, and he'll make fun of my bald spot. And I said, I know your DNA. This is where you're headed. Literally. You know, our love, it's a temporary thing, the way we do it. It's the physical beauty, you know. And beauty that's skin deep, it isn't. The love that's skin deep isn't deep enough. We've got to have something that's deeper than just skin. Modern love says that love without boundaries, you know what? When there's no boundaries and there's no limitations to what that should look like, that'll actually become toxic at some point. And that'll become painful. You'll see that when God created this world, what did he do? When he created limits and boundaries. He set limits on the ocean. He set limits for the land. He set limitations for the planets to rotate. And you say, well, how's all that? There's limitations for our relationships too. There are boundaries that we are meant to live in. And that doesn't take away from love. That actually allows love to flourish and be what it really should be. But when love has no boundaries, it becomes toxic at some point, and it becomes manipulative instead of life-giving, instead of mutually growing. And so this morning, you just need to know this. You need to know that modern love fades when emotions change, but biblical love endures through every change. Modern love fades when emotions change, but biblical love, Ahava love, it endures through every change. See, love has got to be something that cost us something. Love has got to be something at some point we have to step into it, and it may not come back to us the way we want it to, but that's okay. That's all right. What we're being modeled is a different definition of love. What Jesus modeled on the cross, the people that he was giving his life for, he was dying for, that love was not coming back to him in that moment. Now, he says this. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And he will. But sometimes in that moment, it doesn't seem like it. Sometimes in that moment, we don't see that, and we think, man, is this worth it? Jesus models for us the kind of love that is going to cost us something. Love isn't love until it costs us something. Love isn't love until it costs me something and costs you something. I want to wrap up this morning, and I'm going to ask the band to come play. There's a girl by the name of Keisha Thomas. This was in 1996. Keisha is an 18-year-old black girl that is living in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And she shows up to a protest or a counter-protest for a protest that had been planned by the Ku Klux Klan at Ann Arbor City Hall. So the Ku Klux Klan is showing up, and they've got this protest, and they're spewing hate. And Keisha shows up with a counter-protest. And as you know, those two worlds don't mix real well. And there was a clash of worlds, and things got violent. There was a guy by the name of Albert McKeel. Albert McKeel was an older white man who was wearing a Confederate t-shirt, Confederate flag on his t-shirt, sleeves cut off, and you could see he had SS tattoos on his arm. And he was with his group protesting, just spewing hate, and at some point he got separated from his group, and he realized he was surrounded by this anti-protest group. And that group said, hey, this is our chance. Let's take it out on him. And they began to beat the snot out of him with sticks and just their signs and anything that they could get their hands on. They just started to beat him up and beat him down. Keisha Thomas, this 18-year-old black girl, sees this going on, and she's part of this counter-protest. And what she does in that moment was amazing, because she takes and just throws herself on top this man. This man that had no love for her. This man that was there to spew hate against her. But Keisha knew how she was raised. She knew the faith that she was raised with would not allow this. And she throws herself on top of this man who hates her and would not do this for her. And she says, stop beating him, stop beating him. And the crowd backs off. And I would love to tell you that in this story that Albert McKeel gets up and changes his life and he becomes a person of love and changes his message. That didn't happen. But I'll tell you what did happen. Is Albert McKeel's son saw what happened. And he called Keisha about 2 years later and he says, thank you for saving my dad's life. Thank you for saving my dad's life. I will not live like that. I will not live with that kind of hate. And her act of love, that ahava kind of love that steps in when it doesn't come back your way, changed his life and changed the trajectory of that family, because now his daughter actually had a relationship with Keisha later on and she was able to pour into her life. And that one act of love where she stepped in, she said, I cannot let this happen. God will not allow me to let this happen, changed a person's family. Stand with me this morning. This morning, love that is real love, is going to cost us something. It cost Keisha something that day. This morning, I want you to bow your head. For us to talk about true love and real love, you have to get to the foundation. What Jesus said is this. He says it starts with God. It starts with Jesus. This morning, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, you have to start there. You have to start right there. So for your love to be what it should be ever in your life, you have to know the author of love. You have to know the originator of love. So this morning, I want to give you that invitation. If you're here and you want to know that kind of love, if you want to know Jesus in that way, and you don't know him in that way, and you want to do that today, I want you to slip your hand up. Anyone who would slip your hand up, just say, I want to know Jesus in that way. Thank you. Thank you. So, Lord, we come to you now. And we're praying this prayer this morning. Lord, show us what true love is. Lord Jesus, show us what true love is, not what fickle love is, not what the modern definition that is so messy. And it changes with the situation. Lord, show us your real true love. Help us to experience that right now. As your love changes us, we receive that now. We surrender to you now, Lord Jesus. We We surrender our heart. We surrender our mind. We surrender our life to you now. We ask, God, that you would make us and change us from the inside out. Change our heart. Change our life. Lord, we surrender to you. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask Taylor to come up, and we'll sing a song here in just a second. That's where love starts. But what does love look like? She's going to tell you about the actionable part of love that we're wanting you to step into in February.
Yeah, I just, as Pastor Ryan was preaching, this is one of the scriptures that I just love out of John. It just says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Just like Pastor Ryan said, that's where it starts. You are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so you guys are all in here, and I know a lot of you guys, and you guys know a lot more people than just the people that we know. And so, man, it just hit me when Pastor Ryan said that this love might be one-sided. Because our goal for this Share the Love is to model the love of Jesus. It's not to get people to come to church. We want you to help us pray over this. We want you guys to help us know how we can step into these situations. So this is a QR code here. There is a form. And there's a couple different ways that we can help. You guys gave on Giving Sunday. We do have some money set aside. If you would like to continue giving to this, there is a drop down on our giving link where you can give specifically to Share the Love. But we do have some funds set aside for this. And if you have somebody, maybe there's somebody on your heart right now, but as you continue to pray and the Holy Spirit guides you, maybe is somebody you know. Maybe it's a coworker. It doesn't need to be somebody that even knows the Lord or comes to this church. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's somebody that you know. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe they just have a prayer need. Maybe there's a way that we can pray for them. Maybe there is a physical need that they have, like we could go and help. You know, clean up their yard, clean their house, whatever that is. Now, if you can do that yourself, use these cards and you do it and you be that person. But if you need our help or you need a team or you can't do that yourself, fill out this form and allow us to know about that need. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe there's somebody you know that needs a dishwasher, or maybe it's a stove, or maybe it's groceries. We've already gotten a request. Somebody's going to need a wheelchair, and they don't know what resource that, you know, where they're going to get that. Now, we're going to take these submissions, and I thought this was so creative to help all the men in the room out. We're going to take them until Valentine's Day. That's a real holiday, and that is February the 14th. So we're going to accept those submissions until Valentine's Day, and then our team is going to be reviewing those. We have been praying about this, but I just ask that you would pray about it with us and just ask God to just put somebody on your heart, put somebody into your life, put somebody just, you know, in your sight to be able to fill out this form and help us know who they are so that we can share the love in these ways. And if you'll just scan this, it also went out in our newsletter and it'll be on our social media so that we can be able to share the love. And again, our goal is not to get them to come to church. We want them to experience the love of Jesus. And like Pastor Ryan said, sometimes that is completely one-sided. So that's what we want you to do. Make sure that you scan that. And then I think we're going to go into this worship song.
Real quick, this one, if you have a prayer need, we're going to be down front. So they're going to play this.